Hardly a Wit Detective Agency. Need a dick? I'm your man.
What the hell?
Who's this?
Me, Lacey. I'm... Ugh.
Are you sick or something?
Obviously. Hey, I'm not coming to work today, in case you haven't figured that out yet.
That would explain why you're tardy, Miss Stocking. I'm afraid I'll have to dock your pay.
Any clients?
Afraid not.
Good, then you can help me out.
Help you how?
I need you to run to the drugstore for me. Ugh. I need a thermometer. Aspirin or whatever cold medicine you can find, and food. Cupboards are bare.
Maybe you should call the doctor.
No, I'll be fine. Hello? Hello? Hardly, are you there?
You're asking a lot. It's the only way. No, there are easier ways. Leave him, divorce him, but getting rid of him? This is nuts. If you loved me, you would do this for me.
Who is this?
We'll finally be free of him. I know. Don't you want to be with me? You know I do, but not like this. We can't be together if we're in jail.
It's you!
Who else is on this line? William, was that you? I thought it was you. Is there someone else on this line? We must have gotten connected to a party line.
Operator. Hello, are you there?
This is the operator. How may I direct your call?
I was talking to Forbes 7932 and got disconnected. And then I got connected to a party line, I believe.
I'm so sorry, miss. Would you like me to connect you to your party again?
No, I would like for you to connect me to the party line that I was connected to. Do you happen to know the number?
I'll connect you.
Wit Detective Agency.
Hardly, it's me again. We got cut off. I think I overheard something that I wasn't meant to hear.
Like?
Like murder. Hello? Ugh. Not again.
How are you going to do it?
It'll look natural. Don't worry about that. I just need help moving the body. Sunday in the Strip District. If we do this, we do it together. Agreed?
Who is this?
Who's this? And why are you on our line?
I'm Lacey Stocking, private detective. What are the two of you up to? Operator. Ugh, are you there? Hello?
Number, please.
I don't want you to call a number for me. I want you to tell me what number or what party line I was connected to when I was speaking to Forbes 7932.
One moment and I'll connect you.
Oh, no. I don't want you to connect me to Forbes 7932. I want to know what party line I was redirected to when I was speaking to Forbes 7932.
Do you want me to place a call for you?
I want to know which party line I was redirected to on my last phone call.
I'm sure I don't know that.
How can you not know that? You were the one who placed the call for me.
I'm sure I don't understand.
Let me explain it in the simplest of terms. I asked you to connect me to a specific exchange. You did. We talked.
You and I talked?
No. The party you connected me to. He and I talked. Let me finish. Where was I?
You don't need to yell.
I'm not. I'm sick with the flu. After you connected me to my party... The call cut off, and I somehow got connected to a party line where I heard a man and a woman plotting something. Does any of that sound familiar?
Ma'am, it's my first day on the switchboard. I don't know what you're talking about.
The man and woman I told you about, do you know their numbers?
Even if I did, I couldn't give out that information.
So, you don't know what you're doing. Is there anyone there who might know what I'm talking about?
All other operators are busy at the moment.
Ugh, of course they are. I hung up the phone, frustrated and feverish, hoping that Hardly would show up soon. In spite of a head full of snot, I couldn't think of anything else but the conversation I had heard. Somewhere out there in the city of Pittsburgh, a man and a woman were plotting murder.
Lacey, it's me.
It's open.
How are you feeling?
Like death warmed over.
Well, you look like death warmed over.
Sweet talker.
Why aren't you in bed?
The sofa is my bed now. I'm close to the kitchen. The phone is in reach and the radio is out here. You keep me company. Did you get me a thermometer?
You stay put and I'll fix you right up. But boy howdy, Lace, you need to get to a doctor. You look red all over.
You keep talking like this and I might just fall in love with you.
Don't get my hopes up. Now, open up and stick this under your tongue. I'll call the doctor for you. No talking or we won't get an accurate temperature. He's been my doctor since I was a kid and he still makes house calls. Sit tight. Take that thing out of your mouth in about 30 seconds, and I'll call him. After 30 seconds, I checked my temperature on the thermometer while Hardly called the doctor. I was going to object at first, but one, I was too weak and tired to fight, and two, my temperature was 100 degrees. Maybe I needed a doctor. What I needed was my mother. I missed my mom. She always took care of me when I was sick.
He'll be here shortly after 3, so what's the verdict?
100. Not too bad.
It's bad enough. I got you some aspirin and Alka-Seltzer, if you fancy that. Oh, and I got you a hoagie. Although, by the looks of you, you might not want to eat it. I'll just stick it in the icebox.
What do they say? Starve a cold, feed a fever. It doesn't make sense, though. I never feel like eating when I'm ill.
You sound low. Something on your mind?
That phone call I overheard.
Oh, yeah, right. We kept getting cut off. What was that all about?
The operator connected me to the office, but I kept getting disconnected from you and reconnected to a party line. Well, I overheard a man and woman talking about getting rid of someone. They mentioned the Strip District on Sunday.
The Strip? Did they mention a time?
No. I sneezed and they heard me. I told them who I was, and they clammed up real fast.
Did you ever think that you might have heard something else? I mean, you only caught pieces of the conversation.
No, I heard her say it'll look natural, and she needed help dumping the body. And now I'm worried.
Why?
You mean, other than the possibility that two people are plotting a murder?
Well, obviously.
I told them my name, my full name. I heard them planning a murder. They know that I heard them, and now they know my name. How hard will it be for them to find where I live?
Boy, howdy, Lazy. You have some imagination on you.
So you don't believe me?
I'm saying you're sick, and you're tired, and you have a fever, and you might be all gummed up in that noggin of yours right now. I'm gonna go. Here's your water and your aspirin. Take it, and I'll be back to check on you in a few hours.
I did what he said and sank under the covers, feeling unusually restless for having the flu. I waited a few minutes to make sure Hardly was gone before I called Morelli. He was sure to believe me.
Morelli here, make it snappy.
It's me, Lacey.
Oh, you sound awful. What can I do for you? I know you're not working on a case, so what gives?
I'll cut right to the chase so I could get some sleep. When I was talking to Hardly, I somehow got misdirected to a party line where
where I heard two people planning on killing someone.
What?
A man and a woman. Something to do with a strip district on Sunday.
Did you speak to the operator?
The operator's a nitwit. She doesn't know her ass from her elbow.
Look, Miss Stocking, I'm backed up right now. But I can't help you.
Why not?
For one, you don't know the whole story. Two, you're probably having feverish hallucinations. My wife always gets those when she has the flu. Three, talking about killing someone isn't technically a crime, although it should be. I tell you what, I'll call the missus and have her make you a pot of chicken soup and have that lazy partner of yours bring it over later. Other than that...
Can't you even call the phone company and ask them about it or have your men patrol the strip just in case?
Ugh, oh God. I could do both. But not right this minute. It's not high on my priority list. Look, I'm sorry, okay? As I'm always telling you, no body, no crime.
Well, they know who I am, and I heard them talking about their murder plot. What if they come after me, you know, to shut me up?
Right, right, sure. I doubt you have anything to worry about. If someone does come after you, they'll go to the most obvious place first.
Where's that?
The office where that bum partner of yours, who owes me $5, by the way, will take care of them. Now, get some rest. Chicken soup is on its way. Bye.
Before I could even raise a fuss, Morelli had hung up on me. If I wanted answers, I was going to have to get them myself. Unfortunately, I fell asleep and woke up to the doctor knocking on the door, then fell asleep again and woke up to Hardly standing over me. There was a strong smell of garlic in the air.
Oh, what time is it? And what on earth is that smell?
6:30. That smell is Mama Morelli's special chicken soup, sure to cure anything that ails you. You would think that by the strong garlic smell that it was in an open container, but it's actually in a canning jar.
Mercy.
Morelli tells me that the garlic will kill just about anything. He said to add something called stracciatella. That's it.
What on earth is that?
He said mix a beaten egg into the broth with some Italian cheese in case you don't feel up to eating too much. There was more to it than that, but I got distracted and don't remember the rest.
Could you put it in a pot and heat it up for me without the egg?
Whew! Holy moly, this is potent.
I could smell it all the way over here, and that's saying something since I can't breathe.
What did the doctor say?
That I was sick with the flu, drank lots of fluids, and if my temperature gets any higher, to phone him and he'll do another house call. In other words, he didn't say anything to me that I didn't already know.
Well, that's good, I guess. So, I spoke to Morelli about your little problem.
My little problem? Ugh.
Come on, Lacey, be reasonable. You didn't hear all of the conversation, and you're sick to boot. How much of this is because you have a fever?
I wish you two would stop saying that. In my whole life of being sick with cold or flu, I have never hallucinated because of a fever.
Jeepers creepers, don't get in a lather about it. Do you want to know what he had to say or not?
Yes.
Your soup's done. Good luck eating it. My nostrils are burning. Here, you eat while I talk. Anyway, where was I? He had Jenkins talk to the phone company. The operator who was on the switchboard while you were calling has been fired.
For being an idiot?
She had everything all balled up. Connecting people to party lines, dialing the wrong numbers completely. It was a mess.
Hot damn, this soup will put hair on your chest. Oh, or burn it off. Did Jenkins learn anything else?
Unfortunately, because she made a mess of things, the supervisor in charge of the switchboard can't trace any of the calls, because they were all scattered like seeds in the wind.
Aw, how poetic. Well, at least you know I wasn't imagining getting connected to a party line.
No one's doubting that.
You're just doubting that I heard a murder plot, is that it? Oh, the fella's name was William, by the way. Not that that's gonna help. The thing is, I'm worried.
What do you have to be worried about?
I told him my name.
Now you're just being silly. You've taken down criminals before.
Right, and don't think for a minute I wasn't scared while I was doing it. I don't know. It just feels different. What if they track me down and get me while I'm all laid up with the flu? It's one to confront them on the street or at the office, but in my home, no thanks.
You have your gun and a baseball bat. You could always douse them with that soup. That would sure knock them out cold. Are you done with it yet?
I ate as much as I could tolerate. I'm sure I'll be needing some bicarb later. I'm tired. Could you stay with me, you know, just in case?
I have plans.
Oh, a date?
Yep. And before you make some sarcastic remark, it's not Lois.
I wasn't going to. Sick, remember?
Get some rest. I'll check in on you later.
Have fun.
I startled awake around 2 a.m, soaked in sweat. My fever broke. Boy, that Mama Morelli's chicken soup with enough garlic to peel paint from the walls must have done the trick. My head felt detached from the rest of my body, though. My knees grew weak as I stood, but I had to get out of these wet pajamas before I caught a chill. I flicked the light on as I stumbled to my bedroom, but quickly turned it off when it felt like hot coals against my eyes. I stripped out of my pajamas, shivering as the cool air hit my damp skin, and got into fresh clothes as quickly as I could. I grabbed my robe and wrapped it around me, the shivers slowly dissipating, but after all that sweating, I was thirsty. Lights still off, I dragged myself to the kitchen, letting the water run cold as I reached for a glass. I have heard stories of folks sensing when they were not alone. My father told me of a time when he and his brother went out night fishing and knew that a bear was nearby. Somehow, they just knew. The hairs on their arms stood high and alert. They didn't see the bear, but they knew that they weren't alone. My skin came alive with goosebumps, but not from fever. I wasn't alone. Someone was in my kitchen. They must have sneaked in through the kitchen window near the fire escape while I was changing, because I didn't hear a sound. My heart pounded in my chest, but I carried on like I didn't know that they were there. My gun was by my bedside. The baseball bat was in a corner somewhere. The phone to call for backup was not in my reach. I pulled the knife drawer open and half a second later felt a blade pressed to my neck.
"Looking for this?"
"What are you doing here?"
"Oh, you know, just making sure is all."
"About?"
"I wanted to see who you were."
"It wasn't my fault, you know. The operator kept connecting me to your phone call. I didn't hear anything, and what I did hear didn't make any sense."
"You can stop talking now."
"Look, I haven't seen your face. I don't know your name. The police can't trace your phone number, thanks to that incompetent switchboard operator. So if you go now, I won't pursue this. No one will know a thing."
"I told you to stop talking."
"Ow, there's no need for that."
"It doesn't matter now, does it? See, you know some things, and I want to make sure you remember that this here warning can turn into something worse."
"What are you going to do to me?"
"Oh, honey, open your mouth and you will find out. I'm feeling generous, so you'll live to see another day. Now, I'm going to show myself out the same way I came in. Remember what I said?"
The woman stepped away from me, and I reached for the pot still sitting on the stove, pulled back, and whacked her in the face with it. It wasn't a heavy pot, but the crack of her nose bone told me it did the trick. She fell to the floor. I grabbed her by the hair and lifted her face to mine.
"Tell me again what you're going to do?"
She swung her legs around, clipped me in the knees, and knocked me onto the floor. She jumped on top of me, straddled me, and wrapped her arms around my throat.
"This should shut you up."
I had to think fast. She was choking the air out of me. I wriggled and wriggled under her weight until I squirmed down far enough that she was sitting on my chest and my legs were free. I swung my legs up and wrapped my knees around her head and yanked her backwards. I jumped up off the floor and ran to my bedside for my gun. By the time I came out of my bedroom, the woman was climbing out the window to the fire escape.
"Freeze!"
Your backside is a big enough target and I guarantee I won't miss. Now get in here and lay face down on the floor and don't even think about moving. I flicked the light on as the woman did what I asked. She spread her arms and legs wide. Now, stay put. One move and I'll pull this trigger. Operator, get me the police and make it snappy. The target was a Ken Murphy. His wife Caroline, who broke into your apartment and wrestled with you, and her lover William Ranalski were planning on poisoning him and dumping his body down in the strip district late Sunday night. So, Miss Stocking, it appears you were right. Again. I was right again. Easy, Lacey. It was not like we could prove. Save it. Listen up, the both of you. The next time either one of you poo-poo my instincts away, regardless if I have the flu or not, you are going to feel my wrath. I don't take the fantasy, I don't imagine things, and I don't hallucinate. The next time I tell you I suspect something, I expect a better response, especially from you, Hardly. Got it? Yes, ma'am. But if I may say something, unless it's I'm sorry, Lacey, or I was wrong, Lacey, or I promise to believe you and trust your instincts from now on, I don't want to hear it. Never mind. Yeah, that's what I thought.